The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way,
this meeting of the Democratic Party will now come to order. As I am sure you are all aware, Howard Dean said the reason we lost the midterm elections is because we don't stand for anything.
Do we?
I don't know. I thought someone here might.
When you say stand for something, what does that mean exactly?
Do you mean stand for something or stand for something?
That's what we have to figure out. I need your ideas.
Hey, look, I'm a high-ranking Democrat. I don't have ideas.
Could we stand for money?
No, the Republicans stand for that.
What about smaller government?
They stand for that, too.
Deporting immigrants.
Fighting background checks.
Denying climate change.
People, these are all well and good, but they're Republican ideas.
Oh, we thought you wanted the ideas that won the midterms.
Can't we just say we stand for everything the Republicans do except abortion and we also have Springsteen?
No, we have to take an issue they've abandoned and make it our own, like the environment.
You mean fracking the environment?
I mean saving the environment.
Hillary just made a speech in favor of fracking.
With safeguards.
Can we just say we're like the Republicans with safeguards?
And we favor abortion and Springsteen?
People, this isn't standing for something. It's standing for anything.
We're the majority party. Aren't we supposed to stand up to the majority?
We're supposed to protect the majority.
From who?
The Republicans.
The people we're trying to emulate?
Doesn't that make us kind of two-faced?
People, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like the Democratic Party should just join the Republican Party.
Can we do that?
What are the dues?
I don't like their music.
Any other ideas?
I wasn't aware that we'd actually said any so far.
Good. Do I hear a motion to table this until after the 2016 elections?
I could go either way.
Me too.
Me too.
Me too. This meeting is either adjourned or not adjourned, depending.
On what?
I don't know. How do the Republicans adjourn their meetings?
He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Attention, students. This is your principal, Ralph Touchett. West Jatico Senior High School is now facing yet another round of budget cuts. Last year, as you know, we managed to cover the gap by bringing in prisoners to teach home ec. But this year, we hope to survive this next round of austerity without another home ec teacher showing students how to turn celery sticks into a rough but effective brandy. I believe that students will be able to learn as much in the classroom as they did before, or at least spend approximately the same amount of time there. Here are the heads of your academic departments to announce the budget cuts. First up, math.
Students who look at their algebra books will notice that many more numbers than usual have been replaced by X and Y. Books that frequently use X and Y as variables cost less than books with real numbers because variables have no assigned value.
Social science.
Using an interdisciplinary approach that employs psychology, statistical analysis, and pie charts, I will be explaining to students why I am alone.
Spanish. We will be sharing textbooks with three other townships. Goldthwaite Middle School in Goldthwaite Township will get the first four chapters of the book, which means they will learn the present tense. Bryan Hill Senior High in Central Olenin will get chapters 5 through 9, in which they will learn past and future tenses. We will get chapter 10, the subjunctive mode. So, while students in nearby towns will be able to speak of things as they are or were, you will only learn to talk about how things would be if they were different. Life sciences.
We cannot afford any pictures of plants, invertebrates, or lower mammals. So we are gonna study supermodels.
Physics.
Students will gather at the janitor's room and play with matches.
English literature.
We will only be able to read book jackets. Students will be expected to read and identify at least three adjectives describing John Grisham's The Pelican Brief.
History.
Last year, our survey course, The History of Western Civilization, was reduced to the history of every second or third day of Western Civilization. It is now going to be the history of every second Friday. As a result, the course will have to skip December 7th, 1941, which fell on a Sunday. Our textbook jumps right from December 5th, 1941, when the Football Writers Association of America was organized, straight to December 19th, when a U.S. submarine had already sunk a Japanese ship and the federal government created the Office of Censorship to control war information. Students will have to infer for themselves what the problem was.
Geography.
At age 18, students will be shown the exits.
That is all.
Mama always said it was just as easy to marry a rich man as a poor man. But I didn't realize that Mama was right until I joined SugarDaddies.com.
At SugarDaddies.com, we take the safety of our female members very seriously. Now, with our free 24-hour helpline, you can rest easy knowing that a representative is just a phone call away.
Hello, Sugar Daddy's helpline.
Hi, my sugar daddy keeps winking at me while clenching his hand into a fist. Is he threatening me?
No, he's having a stroke. We'll send an ambulance right over.
Okay, does this mean I don't get free dinner?
Sugar Daddies.
Try not to move, Curtis. You took a nasty tackle out there.
I can't feel my legs, Coach.
Curtis, stay calm. I'm going to stabilize your neck and get you onto the stretcher. Once I do that, you give the crowd a big thumbs up, okay?
Thumbs up?
Yeah, to tell the fans that everything's going to be okay.
But everything's not going to be okay. I have no feeling below my waist.
Curtis, these fans just witnessed an incredibly disturbing injury.
Sorry about that, Curtis.
Put yourself in their shoes. What if it was you who had to hear the sound of, like, some guy's spine snapping like a twig?
I thought it was more like a walnut cracking like a...
Nah. For me, it was like a glass bottle being smashed against a wall.
Not like a... Give me a walnut crack like a pop sort of...
Clash. Whatever it sounded like. Wouldn't your mind be at ease if that poor sap gave you a thumbs up?
I am that poor sap.
Exactly. So put that thumb in the air, kiddo.
No, I'm paralyzed.
Only from the waist down.
Hello, Curtis. Roger Goodell here. Listen, the NFL's TV ratings are through the roof right now thanks to your career-ending injury. Fans are literally glued to their television sets. But a lot of people are wondering... Why haven't you given them the thumbs up?
I think I'm going blind.
Yeah, well, let me remind you that every NFL contract states that an injured player must give the crowd a thumbs up or equivalent hand gesture.
Equivalent hand gesture?
Yeah, like a peace sign or a hang ten gesture.
My lung just collapsed.
Now, I got it. You can flap your arms around and do your team's cheer.
Go Cardinals!
Couldn't he just hold his hands in the air and wave them like he just don't care?
Fine by me.
You hear that, Curtis? Curtis?
Get me to a hospital.
Everyone's expecting it, kid.
You'll be on every sports clip across the nation.
You'll be a national hero.
I'll cry tears of joy if you do it. Curtis? Curtis? He's not breathing.
Quick! Someone hold his arm up. Good. Now put his cold, stiff thumb into the up position. Bravo!
Sugar Daddy's helpline.
My sugar daddy just proposed to me. What should I do?
Are you in love with him? No, I'm just kidding. Pawn the engagement ring and leave town.
Sugar Daddies!
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome to This Week in Canada, eh? 2 weeks behind the rest of the world. What's that all about? My guests are Canadians Alison Pill, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather, and a new guest to the program, the Keystone XL Pipeline. Does anyone know what happened in Canada this week? Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather.
We all watched the Republican takeover on TV.
That's nice, but that takeover happened in the United States, not Canada.
I saw it on the CBC.
Doesn't matter.
I was eating a donut.
Sorry.
Drinking a Molson.
Nope.
Being polite.
Listen, eh? For this show to be This Week in Canada, it has to be about things in Canada.
What about the Canadian border? The U.S. takes place right next to it.
I guess the Canadian part of the border is in Canada, so we'll accept it, eh? Now, what were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Toronto-born Alison Pill. You're on the returning HBO show The Comeback, eh?
The Newsroom.
What's Lisa Kudrow like? Is she Canadian?
I don't know. I'm not in her show. I'm in The Newsroom.
You did that song in the 90s about everything being ironic?
That's Alanis Morissette. I'm Alison Pill.
What kind of pill? Does Canadian healthcare pay for it?
Of course it does! I'm the father of the socialist system on which it's based! A system which has enabled more comebacks than Alison Pill's show!
I'm not on The Comeback!
You don't mind our gentle Canadian humor, eh? Do you? What gentle themes did The Newsroom have on this week?
We had the Boston Marathon bombing.
Where is Boston? It's not in Quebec, is it?
No, it's in Massachusetts.
Nova Scotia?
Massachusetts! How did you hear Nova Scotia?
Some people call Scotland Scotia!
If Scotia had seceded, maybe Quebec would have too. What's that all about, Mr. Pipeline?
Please, call me Keystone.
Wow, you really are XL! Although I suppose it's not the size of the Molson. It's how you write your name in the snow, eh?
With me, you'll be writing your name in tar sands oil sludge.
What exactly is tar sands oil sludge?
You know when you go to see Rush and they do a drum solo that lasts 2 hours and 35 minutes?
Oh, boy, do I.
It's worse than that.
Worse than Neil Peart? Where will we see you next?
Oh, everywhere. Literally.
So it's safe to say you're also a comeback, like Allison Healthcare's show.
For the 400th time, you Manitoba sketchbag!
My grandson was on The Comeback!
He made a comeback. He was on 24.
For an extra-large pipeline, you sure know your Canadian grandson actors.
I see a lot of cable. I don't mean the shows, I mean the actual cable.
Join me next time when we'll discuss whether Ottawa-born Dan Aykroyd's Ghostbusters 3 will lead to the even more anticipated Argo 2. Good night. Eh?
The final edition asks the man on the street, what do you think about the rape allegations against comedian Bill Cosby?
More like Dr. Fuckstable.
Who among us has not been falsely accused of 14 rapes?
He was a hero. He was a hero to me when I was a kid. Because I always wanted to be a rapist.
Let me tell you about the time I opened for Cosby.
Look, I don't think rape is funny. But Bill Cosby is funny.
If he sat down with a cigar and told it as a story, we would laugh.
I think there may have been some confusion, you know. Maybe there were some mixed messages when he said...
And I like to put the beans in the garbage and take out.
Let's not forget, the man is a comedy icon who fucks people who don't want him to.
There's something happening, but you don't know what it is, do you, Dylan fan? If you're stuck inside of Bobby with the bootleg blues again, I'm here to tell you about a new morning release of Desolation Oldies, No Thin Man Should Be Without. Hi, I'm deceased Dylan manager Albert Grossman. The name of this album is The Basement.
Yeah!
Now, all in one place, all the times Dylan said,
yeah!
you'll hear the famous Like a Rolling Stone session.
Okay, fellas, it goes like this. Once upon a time, you dress so fine, through the bumps of dime in your...
You'll hear the Newport Folk Festival, when Dylan went electric.
This song is called Maggie's Farm. It used to go like that. Now it goes like...
You'll hear Dylan at the bitter end. At the Café Wa. After his motorcycle accident. And with Allen Ginsberg at the Rolling Thunder Review.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked. You have the next line.
Dragging themselves through the...
Look out, kid. They keep it all hid. Everywhere, but on the basement... If you love Dylan, but don't have 1,798 examples of his famous vocal intonation, don't be a Judas. Buy this now for the low, low, low price of $744. Right, Bobby?
She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She wrote, she got, she does it,
Sugar Daddy's helpline.
My sugar daddy is chasing me in his souped-up Jazzy. He's very slowly gaining on me.
Is he yelling and flailing his arms around in a frightened kind of way?
Yeah.
All right. It's likely that he's lost control of his electric wheelchair and doesn't know how to stop. Try to lead him away from oncoming traffic.
Never mind. He just crashed into a mailbox.
Sugar Daddies.
Oh, hi. If there's one thing I've learned about big name cat foods, it's check the ingredients. They put pictures of chicken and veggies on the bag, but you'd be horrified to know what's really in there. Gluten, ground yellow cornmeal, soy lecithin, tapioca starch, monosodium glutamate, and artificial coloring. You know, the kind of thing ordinary people eat. Not what I want for a family member.
When pet parents learn the truth about big-name cat foods, they switch to True Blue Cat Foods. True Blue Cat Foods are made with wholesome organic ingredients. Organic free-range, grass-fed or heritage breed meats, organic heirloom seed whole grains, open-pollinated veggies and locally sourced herbs, tropical fair trade spices, and last but not least, organic, fresh-picked, sun-ripened fruits and berries.
I went to the True Blue website and compared my old big-name cat food to True Blue. And it's true. True Blue has none of the things I don't want and all the things I do want for my pet child. Only ingredients that people who shop at Whole Foods can afford.
And only True Blue has True Blood Bits, a precise blend of nutrients made from ground-up, FDA-certified, Ebola-free Africans.
When you love them like family, you feed them like family. True Blue Cat...
Oh, my God! Alan, where are you? Mitten just clawed my eyes out! Shit! Oh, my God! Alan! Get a bat! Get a rocket! Holy shit!
I told you, Marge. Feed them fucking human food. They're gonna go feral. They don't want fucking fruit and veggies. They want to kill birds and bunnies. It's your own stupid fault, cat lady.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra. Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. And now, part two of the Final Edition Radio Hour's interview with that unique comedic talent, John Fugelsang.
So, you know, Jesus was anti-conservative religion from the very beginning. I just did an event with Reza Aslan, and, you know, he's getting a lot of mileage out of showing people what a politically powerful revolutionary force Jesus was. He didn't get executed by the state because he didn't rock the boat enough. You know, right. the guy was a radical, and he'd be rejected by religion today.
Yes, indeed. And I think one of the things that the church needs most is that kind of attitude. Essentially, it's anti-clericalism. I mean, that's really what Jesus was, an anti-clerical. He did not accept the authority of the religion of his time.
Well, I think you're right, but, you know, he didn't turn people away who called him rabbi. And he was, no. It's important to remember that he was friends with a lot of the conservative religious elite. Nicodemus was a close friend of Jesus. He did get along with some of the Pharisees. You know, usually it was them coming after him. But someone said recently, you know, if the Pharisees aren't trying to crucify you, you're not doing it right. And as I got older and I began getting away from the Catholic Church, and actually, like, I still had this spiritual hunger in me. And, you know, one goes through all the different phases of doubt and wondering, you know, what do I believe? I understand, I can accept that my beliefs aren't my beliefs. They're what I was taught. And if we grew up where they grew up and lived how they lived, we'd believe what they believed, any part of the world. So when you get on your own journey and begin trying to decolonize your mind and you know, questioning all that you've learned, and deciding that, yeah, I believe in something, but it's not an invisible Caucasian man with a giant fuck-off beard in the sky, you know, that's great, and we all have to make that kind of journey individually or not. But for me, I got tired of seeing the religion of my dad and my mom and of a lot of nice, charitable people I knew used to justify rank meanness and exclusion. Right. And so maybe it's ill-advised, but, you know, God, Bill Maher encouraged me so much. And when I was starting out, and he had me on Politically Incorrect so many times, he invited me on to debate David Duke. He invited me on to debate Jerry Falwell. And I found that the more I dove into these areas, the more people responded. And I realized that there's not a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to come out and say why the religion is full of shit for how they treat gays, but I want to say they're full of shit because they're not Christian. I want to actually I want to thump the Bible thumpers with the Bible. And I get a lot of hate mail for it, but, you know, I also get picketed by Westboro Baptist Church, and I can brag about that to all the girls I like.
Well, I mean, it's true, too, that one of the things that is most obnoxious, it seems to me, about, and this goes across most major faiths, is that certainty is a desirable thing, right? Which is
the opposite of faith.
Exactly. Doubt. Doubt is an essential part of faith.
Yeah, but we're not taught that. You know, right. I always thought the opposite of faith isn't doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty.
Yes.
Mark Twain said faith is, you know, believing what you know ain't so. I mean, you can't prove it. If you can prove it, then it's fact. So you're going on faith. You're in love with the mystery. You're embracing the mystery in this life. And we're all flying blind. Some of us just pretend we're not. Atheists and believers have one thing in common. Nobody knows a dick. So, you know, choose your superstition wisely and choose your certainties wisely. So, you know, I just reached a point where I went to my father retired and moved down south, and he was teaching part-time in his retirement at a community college in Virginia and at the Norfolk Naval Base. And, you know, he was teaching history and religion, and he'd have these hardcore military dudes coming into his class, and my dad would very calmly explain why Oliver North was full of shit, irrefutably. And I went to a lecture he gave once down south on Martin Luther and the Reformation, and when he was done, I was like, Dad, everything Martin Luther hated about the Catholic Church is what you and Mom don't like about the Catholic Church. Why are we Catholic? Why didn't you raise us Lutheran? And he couldn't answer me, and I realized it's culture, it's his tribe. You know, he's trying to change the church from within. You've heard these nice people say, we're praying for a better pope. You know, why don't you leave? We're praying for a better pope. And I get that. You know, I don't want to not vote because politicians suck. I want to try to change it and make it better. So I get people who stay with it. But the essence of all fundamentalism is, as you say, certainty, whether it's Islamic or Judaic or Christian.
Yes, indeed. How would you describe the status of your faith at the moment?
I'm a seeker, I guess. You know, I
a Catholic faith is,
no, I mean, I'm culturally Catholic, you know, that's what I grew up in. And I find the beauty in those rituals. I still take my mom to mass all the time. And the way my dad approached his death kind of changed how I viewed religion. Cause I went through many periods of just thinking organized religion is just the worst, and it's designed to keep you away from God. It's designed to have this middleman. You know, the church usher disease, I call it, CUD. You know, those men who were retired and used to be big shots, and now they're 70, and their wife yells at them all week, but every Sunday morning, they get to put a suit on and a little pin and stand there in the aisle, and they tell you how close you're going to get to God today.
Right.
You want to talk to, you want to sit near God? You talk to me. And you see these guys, like they're directing air traffic, pointing their fingers up and down this aisle. You sit here. You sit here.
Right.
And these old guys who get their dicks hard being, you know, in charge of God's audience. Who gets the mezzanine? Who gets the orchestra seats?
I remember I went to a place down in Florida because my wife's family comes in Sarasota. And I went to a very stuffy-looking Catholic church there because it was the only one in the neighborhood. And when it came time to go to communion, I dipped the wafer in the, you know, in chasuble.
How dare you?
And the woman said, "You can't do that here. You can't do that." I mean, she's like, she yelled in the church. It was like, what? I can do anything I like with the body and blood of Christ. Fuck you.
But again, it's like adherence to rigidity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, look at the Catholic Church and look at the American government. They were both founded by radical revolutionaries and evolved into bloated conservative bureaucracies.
Yes.
That are in love with their own regulation and have lost the revolutionary spirit of putting people first.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of comedy in there, too.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. As you have demonstrated time and again. How are we doing here? Oh, wow. Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I think probably I should wrap this up because otherwise it's going to be a huge editing job. But
I don't want
to. Is there other stuff you'd like to talk about?
Oh my God! What's an area that turns you on? What do you want to? I mean, I can.
Well, I love this area. I mean,
I love this area too, and I can I can stay within this area. Like, I can go to the gay thing. I can go to the. I mean, we've sort of done the gay thing.
Yeah, we've sort of done
the women thing.
Yeah.
You know, sort of. I mean, I can talk about fundamentalism. I can talk about.
Go ahead.
Here's the debate I have all the time, and I want to run this by you because I'm working on this theory, my five theses. And I got to run this by you because you've written so beautifully. You know, Father Joe, what a book. I mean, you so get it. So when I have these debates with people who say, you know, religion's responsible for all the pillaging and oppression of women and rape and murder and violence and war. And I'm like, whoa. Are you talking about those nice Christians, Jews, and Muslims that I know that are out there helping their communities and using their faith as a way of making them better people? As the Dalai Lama says, the purpose of religion is to control yourself, not to criticize others. No, you're not. You're talking about the douchebags. You're talking about the fundamentalists, the extreme conservative wing of every religion. And I've had this debate with Bill Maher and with all my atheist friends. I'm like, when you talk about all this awful shit religion does, you're not talking about religion. You're talking about fundamentalist religion. And all too often, the herd goes along with the fundamentalists in politics and in religion.
Sure.
But nonetheless, the overwhelming majority of conservative, moderate, and liberal Christians, Jews, and Muslims are, in fact, getting along fine right now. It's those true believers, those helpless romantics, the far-right conservative fringe of every faith that's going to keep the world interesting for the rest of us for a long time. And I find that no matter what your religion is, there's five things they all have in common. Super conservative, fundamentalist, Hindu, Jew, Scientology, I don't know. But five traits. Number one, the gay thing. The more conservative your brand of religion is, the more you think gays are sinners and second-class citizens, and they're obviously a mistake by God, like Mexicans and the female orgasm. Number two, women, second-class citizens.
Right.
Every religion in the world, the more conservative the sect, the more women are second-class citizens. And we see this with the Pope and the women and no knob, no job. And the Muslim world, of course, let's not give them the credit they deserve. And you know, our Jewish friends are in many ways way ahead of us. So, you know, and let's not forget Pakistan had a female leader long before we ever did. So oppression of gays, oppression of women. Number three, other religions are inferior. Most religious people get along fine with that nice lady with a different faith who wears a funny hat down the block. Whatever. We're different, but we're nice to each other. My religion calls me to do that. The Quran, the Bible, the Torah call me to be kind to strangers. But when you are so fundamentalist, you know that those other false religions are just wrong, and I don't have to take them seriously. A lot of nice people fall into that trap. Number four, violence is okay if my side does it. You know, I know all the holy books preach against violence, but I'm sorry, since I'm on God's side, I get a pass for killing these motherfuckers. Again, the more conservative you are in your religion, the more you think you get a murder pass. And finally, five, the sex hang-up. Doesn't matter what religion you are.
Indeed.
The more fundamentalist uptight you are, the more you are controlled by what I call the hang-ups of dead guys. St. Paul, the Old Testament. I mean, in the case of, like, the Leviticus, those were guys who wanted to keep the tribe's numbers up. Half of those sex hang-ups are just no gays, no adultery, just keep on making kids with your own partner. You know?
Yes, indeed.
The Ten Commandments really is the top 10 tips for keeping your nomadic Jewish tribe's numbers up in the desert for 40 years. So, you know, if God didn't like sex, he wouldn't make us cry out his name when it's really hot and filthy. So I find those five things, and to a lesser extent, a need to play victim, unite the fundamentalists of all faiths into their own religion, in my opinion. You could take the hardcore fundamentalist Christians, Jews, and Muslims, put them on an island somewhere, mm-hmm. put the whole thing on pay-per-view, and let them fight it out, and let the rest of us just get along. Because haters are going to hate, and haters are in every religion. And religion, far too often, is a cloak for hatred rather than a weapon against it.
And I think one of the most interesting is number four, is the idea that
violence is okay.
That other people's existence is less worthwhile.
Oh yes,
than
other religions are inferior. Yeah. I that's how I was as a kid.
My only moral theory, I think, that has survived in my brain is that is the beginning of all evil. To imagine that someone else's existence is less worthwhile than yours.
Oh, yeah.
Is where all evil begins.
Uh huh. I agree with you because my son God is better than your son God.
Right.
You know, Rick Overton has a great thing about, you know, why do you think all the crowns of early kings look like the sun?
Right.
You know, it's all just branding.
Yeah,
and when you allow yourself to think that your superstition makes you a better person than that guy because of his superstition, then you're already, you know,
you're getting ready to take his life. Basically.
You're getting ready to take his life, or at least devalue his life. You're denying his humanity. You're creating a wonderful new legion of atheists. Good for you, and you are in fact part of the problem, but it's preventable. You know, and I'd like to think that the advances we've seen with this guy Francis. Who again, Francis, if you're listening, get a food taster, no small aircraft. I'd like to think that, you know, what this guy has done just by saying things, that's all he's done. Doctrinally, he hasn't changed anything.
Right.
Well, that's not true. The Vatican Bank, which is the big Catholic scandal. I mean, as awful as the child rape, I won't call it molestation, the child rape of the Vatican has been, if people really knew about the Vatican Bank laundering money for the mob on such a broad scale, that would repulse people even more. And I do think that this guy has been a true reformer in that regard. But, you know, his comments on evolution, which are nothing new. Back in Religulous, Bill Maher sits down with a Vatican astronomer who says, we have no issue with evolution. But Francis comes out and says it in 2014, and suddenly, you know, the walls come down. No, they've been pro-science for a while.
Yeah.
At what he said, when he came out and said that Americans have to get over their obsession with abortion, birth control, and gay marriage, he did more to modernize the church in one speech than any little incremental policy over time. And again, the Catholic Church is going to have to eventually make the choice. Are we going to be a third world religion, or are we going to evolve like all the other arts and sciences have had to do over the years?
Right. Are we going to accept women as our priests?
Yeah.
It's really what it comes down to.
Well, accept women as our priests, end the celibacy law.
Right.
And end the doctrinal discrimination against LGBT people, because when they say homosexuality is incompatible with Scripture, so's discrimination. And there's no scripture you can honestly use to justify. You can dishonestly use Leviticus. There's nothing you can honestly use.
But there's nothing else.
Nothing else. No, not Sodom and Gomorrah. Those three letters of Paul have nothing to do with adults and consensual relationships with other same-sex adults. And so, you know, they're either going to be a third-world cult, or they're going to do something interesting and be a force for moral power and good and be the modern Jedis.
Yeah.
They could switch to all Jedi robes and automatically they'd win, you know, the Generation X back.
Okay. Well, this has been absolutely fantastic.
Tony, it's such a pleasure. Thank you.
But I do want to ask you one thing just for all of our edification, which is tell us about this Sirius initiative.
Well, it's not official yet.
Oh, you can't talk about it?
I can't talk about it, but I will, and then if there's a problem, I'll let you know. But they're launching a new channel on Sirius, something like NPR with dick jokes. That's what I'm calling it.
Right.
They sold it to me as NPR with humor. I interpreted it my own way,
right.
Like the scribes did. And it's going to be a new channel that will feature that I'm going to do a three-hour daily show for. I've had talks with SiriusXM over the years. I have guest hosted a lot of shows. And I like it because I get invited on a lot of political stuff, religious stuff, LGBT stuff, and comedy stuff. And so I'm going to be doing a three-hour daily show that will mix politics with a lot of stand-ups, with a lot of one-on-ones with artists and theater people, authors, bands, a lot of science and tech, relationships, sex, whatever's inappropriate, you know. And I want to try to really, really develop something fun. The channel will also feature Pete Dominic, who's an excellent comedian and I think one of the best political talk show hosts in America. Neil deGrasse Tyson will be doing a daily hour-long show for this new channel. And there will be one more host,
a daily
hour by Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I'm in good company and very and then there'll be some NPR programs rerun on it. So we're going to launch it and give it a year and see how it goes. And
well, that sounds like a serious piece of radio.
Well, I love SiriusXM. I love what they've done for radio. I first joined because of Bob Dylan's Theme Time Radio Hour, which I think is the best thing ever invented. And so after years of being a fan and a guest, I'm happy to be taking a part-time job in that family.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks for all you do. This is Tony Hendra. We'll be back after this.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, I'm Jeff Kreisler, executive producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour. And it's safe to say, this next piece qualifies for the Final Edition's worst idea of the month. It's a reworking of Gilligan's Island, featuring seven stranded viruses stuck in a breed of ape that is going extinct. And their wacky virus adventures trying to spread it to humans? Why, it's Milligan's Ape!
Now sit right back and you'll hear a tale of some microscopic bugs. Viruses that can't be killed by any modern drugs. But sadly for these viruses, they exist in a breed of ape that's going extinct, and so they must escape. They've got to make a species leap so they can make the most of their little virus lives in a human host. In a human host.
Milligan's Ape, brought to you by Pfizer.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, a lesion! I found a lesion in the walls of the rectum!
Milligan, what are you doing down here by the monkey's lower colon?
Hi, Captain. The professor sent me down here to look for lesions, and look, I found one.
Wow, little buddy, maybe we can go through the lesion and hitch a ride on a penis.
Sure, if the monkey has anal sex with a human. Golly, wouldn't that be great?
It may be more likely than you think. The professor has called a meeting in the brainstem. Let's go.
Okay, everybody, I've called you here because I have big news. I may have figured a way out of this monkey and into a human host. Yes, Mrs. Powell.
Oh, I simply can't wait. I'm only going to infect the very finest people.
Absolutely, lovey. I'm eager to get out of this damn baboon and start swimming in blue blood.
Well, it's still a long shot, but I've rigged up an interface with monkey's brain, and I've used it to access his visual cortex.
Oh, I was just down there. I found a lesion.
No, Milligan. That means I looked through the ape's eyes. The bad news is that we're inside one of a tiny handful of this type of monkey left. The good news is that we seem to be in some sort of zoo breeding program.
Ooh, that means there are humans around.
Exactly, Gigi. And that's where your glamour, good looks, and acting ability come into play.
I'm always glad to play, Professor. Play a role, I mean.
It's just what I need, Gigi. I'll connect you to the ape's cerebral cortex and use the interface to override his behavior. I want you to have him act in a seductive manner around his human keepers.
Yes, until one of them gives it to him right up the old poop chute. Bully!
Well, it won't be easy with those hairy monkey legs, but I'm sure I can get someone to mount me. I mean, him. I don't see the big deal. In Hollywood, everybody takes it up the ass.
Excellent. Let's get started. Milligan, I want you in the butt.
Gee, Professor, this is so sudden.
No, you idiot. He means in the monkey's butt.
Yes. You go down to the lower colon and keep watch at the lesion you found. Be on the lookout for a human penis. Mary Jane, you better go with him.
Oh, great. Gigi gets to seduce a human, and I have to sit in a monkey's ass with Milligan. Well, anything if it gets us out of here. Come on, Milligan.
Good luck, you two. And look, through the monkey's eyes, here comes a human zookeeper. Take the controls, Gigi. Do whatever you do to get a guy interested in your ass.
That's usually not a challenge, but then my ass isn't usually bright red.
Just offer him your buttocks. Display your ass and let him know how badly you want his throbbing manhood inside of me. I mean you.
Gee, Professor, I'm starting to understand why you never hit on me or Mary Jane. But here goes. Hi there, Mr. Zookeeper. Wanna monkey around?
He's displaying his butt. It's up in the air. But wait. What's he doing now?
He's putting his finger in his ass. I didn't tell him to do that.
The controls aren't perfect, and he is still a monkey. I'm afraid this plan is a failure. And look, what's he doing now?
Well, Mary Jane, here we are by the colon. Look, there's the lesion I found. We can fit right through if a penis comes by.
Oh, just lovely. I come from a family farm of viruses. My folks made the leap from swine to human ages ago. I should have gone with them.
Holy cow! Here comes something! Stick your head through the lesion with me! You can see it! I think it's a penis!
I don't think that's a penis, Milligan. It's got a fingernail.
How do you know what a penis looks like? You're a girl! I'm gonna ride it out of here. I'll save us all. Wish me luck.
Milligan! No!
Whoa! I'm outside the monkey, riding a penis to a new home for all of us. And look, we're already heading toward another orifice. I bet it's a human butthole. This must be some kind of zoo orgy. Woohoo! Human anus, here I come. Whoa. Where am I now? It must be a human rectum, at last. That's one small step for a virus, a giant leap. Uh-oh. What's that noise?
Milligan! Hey! Milligan!
Oh, my God, here comes somebody. They must be white blood cells here to fight me off, and the big fat one knows my name.
Milligan, where are you?
You won't get me, fat white blood cell. Hey-ya!
Oh, Milligan, you moron! It's me, the captain.
What? What are you doing here in a human rectum?
This isn't a rectum, Milligan. You're in the monkey's nasal cavity. According to my calculations, the monkey stuck his finger up his butt and then sniffed it.
You mean I'm not the first virus in the human anus?
Not by a long shot.
All you did was ride a monkey's finger from his butthole to his nostril, you chowderhead.
Oh, well, at least I got out of the monkey, if only for a few seconds.
So join our viruses each week as they attempt escape. And try to infect humans. Here are Milligan's Ape.
Sugar Daddy's Helpline.
Hi. My sugar daddy keeps buying me yellow hats and calling me Mabel.
All right, it sounds like your sugar daddy thinks you're his deceased wife. Just play along until he buys you some expensive jewelry.
Okay, thanks.
Happy to help.
Sugar Daddy.
City's open way too late. Got nothing in its brains. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. I've got too many gays. But they can't afford to pay. At least that's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. It's like we're cruising. Tourists and millionaires moving into condos where they used to make music. You will find paying 20 grand a night. But the city's gonna change, 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 change. And the poor choice of belief, plain, 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 plain. Baby, we're just gonna sell, 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 sell. I sell it all, I sell it all. Politicians gonna blame, 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 blame. And the artists got no game, 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 game. Baby, we're just gonna sell, 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 sell. I sell it all, I sell it all. Got the homeless off the street. They're making Gucci for my feet. And that's what they don't see. Your daddy bought your home.
while you've been getting down and dirty in your three jobs for the dirty cheats of the world, we've sold off New York City to these sick creeps. My ex-man is a trusted fairy yen who's like, oh my god, living in Brooklyn. To the fellow over there with the MacBook Air, ain't no place for writers in this new city. Cause the city's gonna change, 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 change. Cause the portraits of police, plain, 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 plain. Baby, I'm just gonna sell, 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 sell. I sell it all, I sell it all. Politicians gonna play, plain, 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 plain. And the artists got the game, 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 game. Baby, I'm just gonna sell, 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 sell. I sell it all, I sell it all. Sell it all, I sell it all. I sell it all, I sell it all.
Final Edition Radio Hour. Will Durst here with a few choice words about California's favorite holiday, and I'm sure it's one of yours. Talking about the secular one that each of us looks forward to every November. The one day a year that's dedicated to giving, not receiving. Of course, we're talking about America Recycles Day on November 15th. Don't know about you, but in the Durst household, there's something magically comforting about the grand traditions that have built up over generations. Brown, blue, and green stockings hanging from every chimney mantle. The wacky ceremony surrounding cleaning out the liquor cabinet and pouring everything into the one big punch bowl. The dozens of landfill tire fires dotting the landscape. Sure, some kids today consider it dopey and old-fashioned. But Eloise and Madeline still squeal with delight cleaning out the compost bin so that it looks brand spanking new when Happy the Vulture drops off sustainable presents to reward all the good little boys and girls that separated their straws from their juice boxes and deposited them in the proper receptacles the previous year. Then after gathering around the dining room table that used to be a telephone wire spool and a socially responsible breakfast of locally sourced yolkless eggs, heritage pork belly, and organic greens, the whole family troops down to the annual recycling parade, where participants dressed in green biodegradable bubble wrap ride on solar-powered floats and toss edible barks and mosses to the teeming crowds. Republicans love to portray Californians as a non-spiritual lot with as many gods as haircuts, but our one true unifying religion is recycling. And you can see our spirituality manifest itself once a week when we stagger out to the curb with our sacrificial offerings, trying to figure out what goes where. And just like normal religions, it's one that's based mostly on guilt. For the Final Edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rausch, Steve Rosenfield, David Esbridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Link. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.